feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you Christmas contraband.
All right. Yeah. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 2 to 5. And you can join the opening bell with Steve after 5 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, it's the Steve Cochran Show. Alrighty then. It's Tuesday, and we've got some great stuff lined up on the show. If you have a car question, a car automotive-related question, Tom Appel is going to join us. He is from Consumer Guide Automotive, and he is here to answer any and all of your automotive-related questions. If you're looking for a car to lease, to buy, have a question about a certain car or any automotive-related question, now's the time to call. Tom visits us once a month, and he's here to help you out and answer your questions and talk generally about car and automotive stories. So your questions, 312-981-7200. You can text them to that same number, but you can call us right now. The phone lines are open for your questions for Tom about cars, 312-981-7200. You can check us out at Twitter, at Nick D Show, and Facebook.com/Nick D Show. It's the best way to stay connected with us, so like us right now. Whatever is happening on the show is happening on the Facebook page. It's interactive. It's live. Facebook.com/Nick D Show. Also, you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. So follow him on Twitter right now. He tweets about a bunch of stuff and about car related stuff. And you gotta follow him on Twitter right now at car_guy_Tom. So there you go. Now let's get Tom on, and we will open up the phone lines and your text lines with your questions, 312-981-7200. And we welcome Tom to the show. Hello, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too. It's our first visit in the new year.
It is, yeah.
And how were your holidays? Was it good? Were they good?
They were good. A little quiet, and that's the way I like it. But, yeah, saw enough family.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right. Tell everybody again really quickly for people who might not know about Consumer Guide Automotive. Give everybody a little background on that.
Sure. We've been around since 1967. We were famous in the 70s, 80s, and 90s for our monthly print review guides. We moved online in the mid-90s, as everyone did. And you can check out all our new car reviews every day at consumerguide.com. And we try to have some fun with the auto news and auto history at the cgdailydrive.com blog.
All right, cool. Now, we will get to that a little bit later on because I have two stories here from your CG Daily Drive that people can check out. One is the 12 slowest cars of 1983. Which I cannot wait to get. I love when you pull out the old car stuff like that, and the fastest or the slowest or the weirdest looking or the worst named cars. That stuff always entertains me.
It's very popular. I love doing it too.
And then the other one that we're going to talk about is cool trucks from lame movies.
Yeah.
Now, we got to get to that one, but the first one that you mentioned is a movie. I was 12 when that movie came out. We'll talk about it later. I was 12 when that movie came out, and like you, I thought it was the coolest damn vehicle I had ever seen.
Still be.
Yeah, and it's such a horrible movie. I loved it when I was 12. I thought the movie was great. We'll tell everybody about it a little bit later. I thought the movie was great when I was 12. And then about 6 years later, like I was 18 or something, and it was on TV, and I watched it, and I was like, oh, my God, is this a piece of crap?
That is the sad realization I came to.
It really is, man. It really is. Well, anyway, we'll get to that stuff. Really fun stuff. But before we get to some of the stories, and you interviewed, you had a conversation with the Fiat Chrysler CEO.
Yeah.
Sergio Marchionne. We'll get to that in a second. But I got to ask you how everyone in the car world is feeling about the gas prices right now. And what is everybody, are people going, hey, you know what, road trip? Is anybody thinking about that kind of stuff, considering how low the gas prices are getting?
Yeah, I think that one of the feelings in the auto industry, especially the media, is a slight sense of trepidation. We would really prefer that manufacturers and consumers not lose focus on the fact that we were trying to build more efficient vehicles over time, because if that slow move to more efficient vehicles is halted, it's just going to be a more dramatic and more unfriendly pause a little bit later down the line.
Yeah, that's true. And how does this affect car sales? Does car sales, when the gas goes down, do car sales go up? I mean, it seems logical, doesn't it?
They do, yeah, because people's total costs go down, so they tend to be a little bit more excited about buying cars. Mm-hmm. They feel like they can do it a little bit sooner. And a couple of things that are driving that right now, too, is that used car values are very high at the moment. That makes it easier to trade in your car, making the new car a little bit cheaper. So there's just a lot of things that are working in favor of consumers right now.
Yeah, so it's a good time to buy a car, then.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And if people, you know, have a question about that, you can call us up at 312-981-7200. Any car or automotive related question. It seems like it's a good time to buy a car. The gas prices are going down. The market's good. The resale value on a used car is good. So this might be the time to do it. If you have a question for Tom, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Listen, let's take a quick break, okay, Tom? So when we come back, you can tell us all about the Detroit Auto Show. You were just at that, correct?
Yep.
All right. We'll give you all the background and details on the Detroit Auto Show and talk about some of the cars. You reviewed a couple of the cars while you were there, Tom. We'll talk about that as well.
Sounds good.
All right. Hang on, Tom.
Will do.
All right. Tom Appel is with us. He's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, contributor to Daily Drive blog. Check him out on Twitter at @car_guy_Tom. It's @car_guy_Tom. So make sure you follow him on Twitter and come on back and ask your questions on text or on the line. 312-981-7200. Morning, everybody. Hey, you know, I forgot to say hello to my teammates. What's wrong with me? It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, but I wouldn't be anywhere without the two people I work with. My great producer is Dan Chagrou. I'm sorry I didn't say hello to you at the top of the show, Mr. Chagrou.
That's all right. I told Esmeralda, like, this happens like three times a year, so we're at number one for 2016.
Yeah, all right. I normally don't do that. I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're so excited to talk to Tom.
I wanted to get his opinion on the cheap gas prices and stuff, and then when I was looking at the article that he wrote about cool trucks and lame movies, and he mentioned this really seminal movie that I saw when I was 12, I got a little excited and said, "Hey, Tom," and I forgot to say hello to you guys, but that doesn't mean you guys are unimportant to me. In fact, this show would suck without the both of you. So hi, Dan, and in the newsroom, hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, good. All right, now I have to going to talk to Tom. I forgot. I can't believe I didn't say hello to my partners here. So that's Dan and that's Esmeralda. They're here with me. Now, we're going to be talking cars and automotive questions for you. If you would like to text us or call us, the phone lines are open. The text lines are open right now. 312-981-7200. Let's get back and talk to Tom. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
All right. Let's talk about the Detroit Auto Show.
Yeah.
It is the biggest auto show of the year, correct?
It is the biggest American auto show for reveals, absolutely.
Okay, and talk a little bit about what you saw this year, and in general, how was it?
It was great. It was a great show. On a very personal and selfish level, last year, the city of Detroit had completed some updates on the Cobo Hall, where the auto show is held, and it is a much nicer place to navigate now. So we thank them for that. It's no McCormick place, but it's so much better than it used to be.
What was the problem before?
It's incredibly cramped, and the auto show took place on two floors. And that's still the case, but they've done a lot to make it feel brighter and airier. It's sort of an unpleasantly small place to try to have an auto show, and it's very old.
Mm, okay. All right. Well, tell me about some of the highlights. You reviewed basically two cars while you were there, a couple of 2017 models. Tell me about the new GMC Acadia.
Yeah, the Acadia is an interesting vehicle. That's been around for a number of years now, and it's General Motors' sort of large crossover. It's much larger than other mid-sized crossovers, so it plays in a sort of segment that may or may not exist in people's minds. But they've made some interesting changes for 2017. The vehicle will be out later this year, and they've made it smaller, which is interesting. That's not where you think the market is going. But their target audience is really Jeep, and they really want to get people intending on the Jeep Grand Cherokee. And that's an insanely popular and profitable vehicle for Jeep. And the Acadia has been popular, but I don't know what people really had a sense of what it was in their heads. But now it's a little bit smaller, looks a little bit tougher, looks a little, actually, frankly, Jeep-like. But it'll keep the third-row seat. So I think for mildly upscale intenders looking for a mid-sized crossover, I think this is probably a little bit more in the wheelhouse than it used to be.
Mm, okay. And then you wrote about the 2017 Mercedes-Benz E-Class. What are the differences there, and what do you think of that new one?
Yeah, this is an interesting car. This is Mercedes' bread-and-butter car, and it's often their best-selling car or second best-selling car. And there are little components of this press conference that made me want to cry. It's still probably a magnificent vehicle, but it's one of the first Mercedes press events I've ever been to where there was no mention of engines or horsepower or handling or road feel. It was all about autonomy and all about technology.
You know, Tom, you touched upon this last month when we talked.
Yeah.
About how the focus of, you know, cars now is on the technology and autonomy and not so much about, you know, what you just mentioned. And you're seeing more and more of that, right?
You really are. And you know you've hit an important point in this transition when the German car makers aren't talking about road feel.
Yeah.
It's a really important pivot point, I think. And that's just where this is going, and that's what luxury shoppers want to hear about.
Wow. Now, I was talking with my dad the other day about, you know, the difference in the way people get their cars fixed now. And I was talking to him about, you know, the conversations that you and I have had over the years about how, you know, mom and pop businesses of every facet aren't as popular as they used to be and are closing down. And that includes your local sort of mechanic, because a lot of things that go wrong with cars now are technology related or computer related. And, you know, the grease monkey stereotype doesn't really exist anymore.
No, the things that we used to repair ourselves or that we'd go to the local corner for to have repaired, water pumps, fan belts, brake pads, these things don't fail as much as they used to. Oil changes are less necessary than they used to be. They used to be 2,000 or 3,000 mile intervals. Now they're 10,000. Other stuff just doesn't break. Yeah, the problems that they have tend to be technological related. They're electronic, and you need a trained technician with very expensive equipment to diagnose that stuff. So it's harder and harder for the corner mechanic to get into that market and stay in that market.
And that's one of those things. The people, more often than not, they bring their car back to their dealer nowadays, correct?
They do, and it's the easiest way to do it. You just know that they'll know how to fix it, or you certainly hope they do.
Yeah. other things at the Detroit Auto Show that struck your fancy?
Something interesting. People may associate the word Genesis with Hyundai, and it's been a vehicle that Hyundai's been selling for a few years now. It's their large rear-drive car. That name is now being applied to an all-new luxury brand that Hyundai is rolling out. And they rolled out the Genesis G90, which is a large luxury car. It's a big rear-drive sedan intended to take on the best from Germany and Japan in the luxury market. But what Hyundai is going to do is try to sell these vehicles under the same roof as the Hyundai products they already sell. So there won't be separate franchises or separate dealerships. So in that way, it won't be like Lexus or Infiniti where they have separate dealerships. We'll see how this goes. They intend to have 6 vehicles rolled out in the next 5 years, 3 sedans, 2 crossovers, and a sporty car.
Wow.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if they can pull this off. But the brand will be Genesis, and the first vehicle is the G90. That'll be their biggest sedan.
And when is that looking to come out?
That G90 sedan will be out later this year.
Oh, okay. Is the buzz positive on it, or?
It looks fine. It we already know that vehicle. The Genesis G90 used to be the Equus. The G80, which will come along later, is the car we call Genesis now.
Yeah.
We don't know what the G70 will be yet, but it'll be slightly smaller and less expensive.
Okay. How often are cars pretty much the same but have different names? Does that happen a lot in the business?
Yes, it happens a great deal. Just a repositioning or a rebranding, and then all of a sudden they got to move on. And you wonder why, because you think there'd be a lot of equity after a launch of a vehicle, but it doesn't always work that way. One of the things we saw in Detroit, too, is that Chrysler rolled out a brand-new minivan, and you'd think they'd have a lot of equity in the town and country name.
Yeah.
But they ditched that. The town and country is gone, and they're calling the new vehicle Pacifica. And they thought that it was so important that people understand this vehicle is all new that they wanted to get rid of the old name.
Wow. Okay. All right. Interesting. And now let me just ask you this. You know, we're talking about technology and in cars. How has the car manufacturing world changed, and how has that affected the auto show itself? Now, I haven't been to an auto show in many years. It's been a long, long time since I went. I haven't driven in a long time. So it's been many, many years that I went to the auto show and you know, experienced it. And we're going to do a little preview. You give us a little preview of what we're going to see in a couple of weeks here in Chicago.
Yeah.
But, you know, what's the difference now in just the experience of going to an auto show in terms of how the technology has changed? Is it much more futuristic than we've ever imagined?
Yeah, and it can be a little bit more fun because you can touch and feel this technology in a lot of cases in a vehicle that isn't moving. So a lot of manufacturers will have interactive displays set up with voice controls and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a sense of how that stuff works. And that's what sells now, too. Ford has redesigned what they used to call their MyFord Touch digital interface. It's now referred simply to as Sync 3. And I believe that they had interactive displays in Detroit, and those will be in Chicago as well.
Okay. Well, do people still – because this is what I remembered. I used to love going to the auto show. Do people still get the big bags full of pamphlets and flyers and booklets and stuff?
They do. One of the things that you see that for less expensive vehicles now sometimes is that all you get is an index card with a URL on it.
Ah.
Which is unfortunate because you want something to take with you,
yeah.
which makes you more inclined to want to steal a shift knob.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I used to come home from the auto show. We would come home with like 12 pounds of stuff. In two shopping bags just jammed with stuff, and then look at it and go, we can't afford that. This is never going to be – this is a car that I don't even – boy, that's a really cool-looking car. I'll never be able to buy it, you know?
Yeah, I did that. I brought home – I tried to get a brochure from every single display.
Yeah, yeah. So now you just got to go to the web.
You do.
Oh, that sucks. All right, give us a preview of what we expect here in Chicago. Now, in terms of auto shows in the country, where does the Chicago Auto Show, where does our auto show rank?
The numbers are all over the place, but the numbers I'm most likely to believe are it's the largest consumer show, so the most people go through it.
Right.
In terms of reveals, it's not always at the top because there's just so many auto shows now competing for reveals.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay because all the concept cars will be there. Where they were revealed doesn't really matter if you're just going there as a consumer. So absolutely worth seeing. And there's some cool stuff this year, too. If you use the CAS16, Chicago Auto Show 16 hashtag this year, they're giving away prizes every day to people using that. So those will be selected randomly. But they've got three test tracks this year, which is a lot of fun. I guess Toyota, Jeep, and Chrysler are going to have test tracks set up. And the Jeep one is always fascinating. If you get in that line, and that line can be long, you can go to the top of the hill with someone driving you, and you can see the entire auto show from near the ceiling of McCormick Place. So that's very cool.
That's cool. That's really, really cool. And how many days? It's like a 10-day thing?
Yeah, it's like a 10-day thing. It opens on Valentine's Day this year.
Right.
And runs through the following Sunday.
And how many days do you attend, Tom?
I will go to the press days, which are the 2 days before the show opens. So the day of the big gala, the big charity ball, and the day before. Those are the days I'm there, and there's a lot of media events those 2 days. And I will usually go back on my own sometime just to walk the show alone. And often I go with my dad.
Yeah.
And we could just stroll that at our leisure.
Well, that's something that you do with your dad.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about it. All right, cool. So those are the auto shows. And if you want to read more about the Detroit Auto Show, Tom's full reviews of the GMC Acadia and the Mercedes-Benz E-Class, you can check that out at cgdailydrive.com and at consumerguide.com. Or he tweets about it, too. Make sure you follow him at car_guy_Tom. @car_guy_Tom. Before we take a break here for the news, Tom, real quick, a question. 312-981-7200. Here's a text that says, from 773, that says, with the gas prices so low, does Tom envision a scenario where gas guzzlers like Hummers will once again become popular, or is that time gone?
That time is gone because manufacturers aren't going to reintroduce vehicles like that. What we're going to see is some migration to thirstier vehicles that already exist. So someone buying a pickup might upgrade from a midsize to a full-size pickup, or people might opt for the V6 instead of the turbocharged 4, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be seeing more micro decisions being made that may not favor fuel economy that might have been made differently before. But no, manufacturers are not going to recommit to the old heavy iron.
Are there still a lot of people driving around in those giant Hummers?
Sadly, I see people commuting in them.
I do, too. I thought maybe I'd lost my mind, but I see a lot of them on the road.
Yeah, one guy in a Hummer H1.
I think it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Making a statement.
Yeah, making a statement. That's right. Okay, Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
And I want to talk with you about your conversation that you had with the CEO of Fiat Chrysler Automobile, okay?
Great.
All right, cool. Tom Appel is with us. He's great. Follow him at Twitter, @car_guy_Tom. That's @car_guy_Tom. And check him out at consumerguide.com. Tom Appel answering your questions and more automotive stories coming up. It's 312-981-7200. News is next. Morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. How you doing? We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trip Tower. Here till 5, opening bell at 5, Cochran at 6. Tom Appel joins us every month. He's the publisher of the Consumer Guide Automotive and a contributor to the Daily Drive blog. We're going to talk about some of the stuff he's written. I just wanted to mention, hey, Esmeralda, I just wanted to mention that I always find it charming when you include Harwood Heights in your in your temps.
Just for you, Nick.
I know. I don't know why. I really, you know, when I was a kid, my cousins, who, you know, my two cousins were like a brother or sister to me, since I'm an only child, and we were really, I spent my formative young sort of teen years hanging out in Harwood Heights with them, and I went to school at Luther North, which was like a hop, skip, and a jump from the hip, you know, and I saw most of my movies at the Norridge when I was in high school. So I have a, like an emotional connection to Harwood Heights, and whenever you say Norridge or Harwood Heights, I go, aw.
You call it the Heights?
No, it wasn't a Fox show from the 90s, no. And that was that show where, like, that no one watched the show, but everybody bought the single. You remember the theme from...
Oh, gosh,
wasn't
yeah.
that song, like... Dan, didn't that sell, like, 70 trillion copies?
Yeah, I'm trying to... I can't... What's the name of it?
The Heights was the name of the show. I don't remember, but the song... Do you remember the name of the song, Esmeralda?
I couldn't tell you.
Maybe Tom does.
How do you talk to an angel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's it. How do you talk to an angel? Nice one. Nice one. And it was like the big, and the, like six people watched the show, but 80 million people bought the record. Let's see if Tom remembers that. Tom, do you remember The Heights?
I don't.
You're better off.
I don't. I remember some show, the theme song was, I Don't Want to Wait for Our Lives to Be Over.
That's Dawson's Creek.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that song, for some reason, played endlessly at the health club I go to. I was seriously considering leaving the health club.
Yeah, no, that was Dawson's, man. That was that, yeah, that was Dawson's. Yeah, I used to watch that show. I'm not kidding. I did.
Was that UPN? Was that the UPN?
No, that was no, that was CW. Well, it was
WB.
WB then. Back then it was the WB.
Okay. So, all right.
Yeah. Now I'm envisioning your teenage years as like a CW WB show.
Me?
Yeah, yours.
Why?
Because you're, you know, you're like, oh, you know, like the height wasn't like the Heights, and I'm, you know, you're just, I can't combine the two in my head. And,
that's weird because yeah, my teenage years were nothing like a CW show.
I know, that's why it's funny.
Well, that's
like
probably why
it's like CW-ized. You
well,
know?
That's probably why I latch on to those shows so much is because maybe I crave for that kind of teen world. I crave to live in Stars Hollow. You know I want to live in Stars Hollow.
I'm imagining like a mashup of Gilmore Girls and the OC for some reason.
Welcome to the OC, bitch. Yeah, that show, I watched that. That show fell apart. Well, let's not get into that right now. Tom's on the phone. He doesn't want to talk about the OC. Hey, Tom, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right, you have a conversation. This is kind of a big thing every year where you talk to the CEO, Sergio Marchionne. Of Fiat Chrysler. Tell me about how that went and what you talked about this year.
Yeah, Sergio is an extremely colorful character, and he is the CEO of what is now Fiat Chrysler. He was the CEO of Fiat when Chrysler was essentially given to him by the federal government in exchange for saving the company, which he did.
Yeah.
I mean, Fiat Chrysler is doing very well now, and every year at the auto show, he meets with 30, 40 journalists in what is always a much-anticipated press conference. And the big question this year, the one everyone wanted to talk about, was his very public courtship over the past few months of General Motors. He was very actively suggesting that they should get together and that they should merge. And General Motors rebuffed him to such an extent that they wouldn't even discuss it in the media. But Sergio would not let it go. He's finally acquiesced and accepts the fact that General Motors doesn't want to merge with him, but he kept insisting that one of the things that big automakers have to deal with is all this autonomous technology and the media interfaces in cars are very expensive, and they don't need to be separate. All the car companies don't need to be making separate things when they all do exactly the same stuff. And that's kind of his point for a merger. Additionally, there's architecture sharing and things like that. So his big plan now is to make Chrysler an even more attractive a company for a merger, and that we'll see more about that in years to come.
Mm. Now, does that seem like a smart move?
It does superficially. Obviously, if you can do things together and if you can build more cars off the same architecture, that's good. But ultimately, you're just rebranding vehicles that kind of start to look and smell the same. And I think there's dangers there, too. Obviously, he's arguing that that's not the case. And there are a lot of Fiat vehicles right now that are very technically similar to Jeep vehicles we're seeing in the U.S., and no one would tell you that they're the same. So there's a lot to what he's saying.
Are there other CEOs of corporations that do that kind of thing and have press conferences and meet with the press on a regular basis or at least once a year?
Not to this extent. Not a big press conference at the auto show. They make themselves available to a lot of the business guys. But this is really an anticipated event every year.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it went well.
It went great. Yeah, it was always a lot of fun.
What is it about this guy that people like that make him so entertaining?
He's very colorful. He's very plain spoken.
Yeah.
And he'll call people out for what he thinks are stupid questions, which is fun. Sergio refuses to wear a suit and tie, which makes him very interesting.
Oh, I like him already.
Yeah, he just wears a sweater. He's the most casual looking CEO at the auto show.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Very, very cool. We got some texts coming in with questions, Tom.
Great.
And if people have any questions, car-related, automotive-related, you're thinking about buying a car and you need some advice, car-related stuff, 312-981-7200, talk and text, 312-981-7200. 847 area code says, my wife and I are thinking about getting a Kia Sorento. We're a family of four, and it seems to offer a lot of size, but it is not a minivan. What do you think?
Yeah, the Sorento is their Kia's midsize crossover, and it's a very nice vehicle, recently redesigned. And it's certainly something I would look at. There's so many good products in that segment that I would recommend that anyone looking there drive as many of them as they can. They should also look at the Toyota Highlander. They should really look at the new Honda Pilot, which is an outstanding vehicle. And the Hyundai Santa Fe is technically very similar to the Kia Sorento and worth a look, too.
Okay. Hey, what are you driving, by the way, now? What have you driven since the last time, the last time we talked?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
I just got out of a fascinating vehicle. I just drove the BMW i3, which is BMW's pod-shaped electric vehicle.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's a complete blast to drive. It's by far one of the most entertaining electric vehicles I've ever driven, and it is completely unsuited for driving in very cold weather.
Oh, and you just found that out.
Yeah, I did just find that out. Well, a couple of problems with it are the battery is not huge. It's a 73-mile range when in good conditions. During the cold snap, the best I could get out of it was 54 miles, as stated. Our vehicle came equipped with a very small gasoline range extender engine, which made my commute possible. But this is a good-looking car. It's really thoughtfully designed. Lots of room up front for two people. There's sort of an emergency rear seat in case you have to stick people in back. But for an electric car, for a green car, it's a blast to drive.
And now, you're not a small man, Tom.
I am not.
And a lot of the cars that you test out, some of them, especially the electric cars, are this one was comfortable for you.
Yeah, the Mitsubishi Mirage, for example, or the Mitsubishi I, the I being their electric vehicle, far too small for me. I flat out cannot drive it.
Yeah.
This car is roomy as heck. It's as big as any compact car up front.
Wow.
And I fit just fine.
Now, how do you feel about the electric cars altogether? And in fact, Faraday revealed a futuristic electric car. Since you brought up the electric car, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of electric. I think it is actually the next step of what we're trying to do with cars. I think that's where the industry is going to go. Faraday was interesting. Faraday finally revealed itself at the Consumer Electronics Show, but they didn't reveal much. It's very unclear what this company is as yet. They showed a concept car, the 10-something, which was a 1,000-horsepower race car that was pure electric. But one of the things that Faraday claims to be doing is building a $1 billion with a B-dollar assembly plant somewhere outside of Las Vegas, but
wow.
No one knows yet what they're going to assemble. And there's some people theorizing that what they want to do is become a contract manufacturer of electric vehicles. This makes sense, since all manufacturers are going to have to eventually start building electric vehicles if they're going to meet emissions goals, so they could become the provider of those vehicles for different brands, because they don't have a clear product strategy as yet, and there's very little known about the company.
Okay. We have another question from Kathy, who sent us a text at 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open as well. We have a 2000 Town and Country looking for the same extra room behind the wheel and ease of getting in and out, but a smaller vehicle. Any suggestions?
Yeah, there's a couple of smaller vehicles now that have that kind of space. The Town and Country was Chrysler's minivan, and minivans have gotten larger since 2000. But there are some smaller vans that you could look at. There's the Ford Transit Connect wagon, which is their little delivery van in personal use form. It's actually outfitted as a regular car, and that's got all sorts of room and space in it, and a very nice package, very affordable. It does look like a delivery van, which may be an impediment to some people, but it's worth looking at.
Okay. All right. Before we break here, Tom, I got to ask you, what's the update? What's going on with VW? Obviously, you know, the biggest car story, as you've said, of all time, basically.
Yeah, VW just got stuffed by the EPA. They put together their first proposal, and the EPA said no. Not going to do it. So they had to go back to the drawing board. But their first proposal looked expensive. It involved buying back 115,000 cars and doing very expensive refits to the others. So we wait to see their next proposal.
Wow. Okay. It's never ending.
No.
All right. If you got a question, car-related, automotive-related, Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Check out consumerguide.com, cgdailydrive.com, and make sure you follow Tom on Twitter. Let's get some Twitter followers on there. It's at @car_guy_Tom. That's @car_guy_Tom at Twitter. Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. And any car-related question, text or talk, 312-981-7200. We'll come back with more on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. Hi, how you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Hey, coming up, we're talking with Tom Appel right now. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and a contributor to their Daily Drive blog. You can check out consumerguide.com and make sure you follow Tom on Twitter at @car_guy_Tom. We're going to talk a little bit about an article that Tom wrote about cool trucks from lame movies. And then we're going to get into the coolest vehicles in movies and TV history. We'll talk about some of those. What are your favorite cars or trucks or really, really badass cool vehicles from TV and movies? And Tom, we'll get back to the regular questions. What do you have a couple of favorites that pop into your mind?
Movie vehicles?
Movie and TV, yeah. What are some of your favorites?
Wow, my favorite movie vehicles. Gosh, I'm having a hard time now. Obviously, I'm very loyal to the Bluesmobile, but that wasn't very much more than a beefed-up Dodge.
Right. Yeah, but it's got cop tires. Cop shocks.
Yeah, that's right.
That's got cop.
and as a younger man, I was very fond of the TV Batmobile.
Yeah. We lost the designer of the Batmobile.
Yes.
Just last year.
Yeah, Barris is gone.
Yeah, and he did one of my favorites of all time is the Munster Mobile from the Munsters.
The Munster Mobile, yeah, and the Monkey Mobile too.
And he did the Monkey Mobile. Man, that guy was a genius. That guy.
Yeah, he got around, and his stuff lasted. That stuff's worth a fortune now.
I bet. And Esmeralda's face lit up when we mentioned the Monkey Mobile. Esmeralda, big fan of the Monkeys and the Monkey Mobile.
Yes, they need to be in it, though.
They need to be in it.
Not
I see.
Just the Monkey Mobile itself.
That costs more.
Yeah. To get Mike Nesmith back in the Monkey Mobile is going to cost a lot of money, I think. All right, real quick question here from Joe on WGN. Hey, Joe.
Yeah. Hey, I got an older Dodge Caravan, and it sits in my garage. Now, when that thing dies, I would like another minivan. I take the seats out and just use it for cargo, really. But is there another minivan-type vehicle that will be no longer than those older Dodge Caravans?
No, unfortunately, no one makes a short wheelbase minivan anymore. I just mentioned the Ford Transit Connect, and if you're just going to take out the rear seats, that might be a way for you to go. It's a little bit smaller than what your vehicle was, but it's a lot smaller than the current crop of minivans, and it makes excellent use of space. And you can pull out the second row seat and just have a big, vast floor area.
Mm, okay.
What's it called?
It's the Transit Connect.
Transit Connect.
Ford Transit Connect.
That's right.
All right,
Joe, thanks. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 773 area code sends a text. Tom, you just mentioned changing your oil. I had always been told that it changes, that you have to change it every 3,000 miles. That's not the case anymore?
No. That the oil change industry would love for you to change your oil every 3,000 miles, but if you check the oil change intervals now in your owner's manuals, they're between 7,500 and 10,000 miles now per oil change.
Wow.
Yeah, they're just much longer. It's so much more affordable to own a car in terms of maintenance. But a lot of people do it anyway, just out of habit or some sense that they're preserving the longevity of their vehicle, but it's really not necessary.
Okay. Let's see. From the 815 area code, what kind of truck would you recommend for a lot of towing? I am a Chevy guy, but willing to look elsewhere. I have three kids and a wife and me, and we will all be in the vehicle.
Oh, well, if you like Chevy, sticking with Chevy makes perfect sense. Chevy now is available. The 6.2-liter Corvette-derived engine in its 1500 series vehicles, and that's perfect. But if you step up to the 2500 three-quarter-ton vehicle in any of the, Ford or Ram or Chevy, you're going to get a lot done. My personal favorite is Chevy with a 5.3. If you're not towing too much, if you're going to tow a bunch, moving up to a Duramax Chevy or a Cummins Ram makes perfect sense.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the 12 slowest cars of 1983, Tom. One of the pieces, one of my favorite things is when you write for the Daily Drive blog. The stuff that you write for the blog is always a lot of fun. Why did you choose the year 1983?
That's actually the year I graduated from high school.
Me too.
So
you turned 50 last year.
That's right.
Happy 50.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. So, yeah, now, it's funny. You mentioned 1983 is the year I graduated high school, too. I learned how to drive in my, driver's ed. I drove in a Ford Fairmont.
Wow.
That's the car I learned how to drive in.
Yeah, I had a Citation, a Chevrolet Citation, and a Chevrolet Malibu, both of which were complete dogs.
Yeah. We'll talk about the slowest cars of 1983, and what are sort of the differences between how fast cars are now as opposed to how fast they were 32 years ago?
Yeah, a point I make a lot about 1983, but really 1984, is that a Corvette in 1984 reached 0 to 60 miles an hour in 7.5 seconds. I like to point out that a Hyundai Azera now does it in 6.8.
Oh man, jeez. Wow. All right. Slowest cars in 1983, the Chevrolet Chevette Diesel. I wasn't even aware that they made a diesel Chevette.
Yeah, right around 1980, almost every manufacturer dabbled in diesel just for a moment.
But a Chevette?
Yeah, there's a Chevette Diesel. That diesel actually came from Isuzu, longtime partner of General Motors, sort of long-term secret partner of General Motors.
Yeah.
And they stuck that in there, and it made for one of the slowest vehicles you could possibly imagine, almost dangerously slow.
Yeah.
0 to 60 in over 22 seconds.
Jeez.
But they were able to advertise, they could advertise the huge fuel economy, so they had that going for them.
All right. Do you have a favorite vehicle on this list, or, even if it's just in kitschiness?
Yeah, I do. I love the Chrysler Imperial.
Okay.
Which was sort of a lot of people love the styling, and I love the styling too, but it was slightly a fairly half-assed attempt at building a classic luxury vehicle, and this was based on the same chassis that the current LeBaron and Murata were riding on over at Dodge. And one of the things that Chrysler had done was used its very old 318 V8, and they slapped fuel injection on it to make it sort of cool and high-tech. The problem is they couldn't make it work. So even with the fuel injection, the car was slow, but about a year later, they were recalling these vehicles, pulling off the fuel injection and slapping on old-school carburetors. And it was just such a disaster story.
Oh, man. Okay, how about we got the Pontiac Bonneville Wagon, 19.9 seconds.
Yes, and that was another diesel.
Yeah.
That was actually the famous General Motors 5.7-liter diesel that was known for blowing head gaskets.
I don't know why I'm laughing. I just, every time I hear about, the cars that would, certain things on cars that would blow like 30 years ago, it just cracks me up because you just don't hear any of that stuff anymore.
No, you don't. Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, the Pinto thing still sticks with me, and that's 30 something years ago.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who's blown a head gasket recently.
Yeah. You don't see that in the dealer. Yeah, I blew a head gasket.
No.
You don't see that very often. Okay, so the rest of these are very entertaining. Check it out, the 12 slowest cars of 1983. Before we get you out of here, because after the news we're going to open up the phone lines and the text lines and talk about coolest TV and movie cars and vehicles of all time. But you talked about some cool trucks from some lame movies.
Yes.
All right, let's start with Damnation Alley, which is the movie that I was referring to earlier. Which when I was 12 when that came out, and evidently you were too.
That's right.
And I thought it was the coolest damn movie of all time. And at that time, Jan Michael Vincent was the coolest dude on the planet.
Oh yeah, no question.
And
George Peppard,
yeah. Jackie Earl Haley. He's in Bad News Bears. He's Kelly Lynch.
How could you not love it?
Exactly. So tell me about the vehicle in that movie.
Yeah, this is referred to as the Landmaster, and. For what was a movie with terrible special effects,
awful.
This vehicle actually existed. Someone built this vehicle, and it's famous for a couple of interesting reasons. First of all, it's got 12 wheels that rotate so that only 8 of them are on the ground at any given time.
Right.
And it could rotate them while it was moving, which was fabulous watching. If you're 12 years old watching that on a big screen, you're like, that is so cool.
Absolutely, yep.
And the other cool thing about this vehicle, and this is actually true, it doesn't steer the wheels. Instead, it bends in the middle in the direction you want to go, like a caterpillar. And I'm like, that's crazy.
I don't
know how that works.
I wonder where is this vehicle, did you check and see if it still existed?
It not only does it exist, people have commented on this article that they knew where it was. And apparently it was on the side of the road at some repair shop in L.A. for years.
What?
Yeah.
Now, for those of you who have not seen the movie or seen the vehicle, the sight of that thing just sitting on the side of the road waiting for repairs is hilarious.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal was, and I think that it is since. There's actually an article on Hemmings.com. Hemmings is an old car magazine. It's an excellent magazine. Save the Landmaster. And I read that, and I don't know what came of it, so I don't know where it is right now.
Oh, man.
But I think there was enough interest that it has been saved.
Okay, that's great. Okay, Tango and Cash, the RV from hell.
Yeah, the vehicle doesn't have a name. At some point, Tango and or Cash refers to the vehicle as the RV from hell. And one of the things about this movie, which I think is flat out terrible, is that I could never identify this vehicle. I always thought it was a minivan. But it turns out it's really a Chevy pickup that had a minivan canopy glued to the front of it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And so it's like a Mad Max vehicle where they're just taking weird chassis and sticking them on different motors.
Yeah, that's it. And then the missile launcher is glued to the side.
And then you have the Mystery Men. Now, I don't even know what this is. I don't even remember Mystery Men. You know, actually, I do remember Mystery Men. It's funny because I was listening a little bit to Patty earlier, and she was talking about how William Shatner was yelling at a director for a commercial because he was for a line reading, and he was saying sabotage.
Yeah.
And you've heard that, obviously, Tom.
I have.
And so the whole, like, no, I say sabotage. That whole thing with Shatner ends up in Mystery Men. It's a throwaway line that when they cut, I remember laughing my ass off when I saw one of the few times I laughed during that movie.
That's right.
Janine Garofalo does a sabotage line reading purposely and then says, no, but I say sabotage. And about 6 people in the theater that I saw that movie with laughed. So there's Janine Garofalo's salute to the sabotage line reading that William Shatner did, and it's in Mystery Men. Quickly, what is this vehicle in Mystery Men?
Sadly, it's a completely fake vehicle. It's the Herkimer Battle Jitney, which is perhaps most famous for the fact that it looks like something out of a Terry Gilliam film.
Sure.
And that in the movie, Tom Waits is a huge fan of what he calls the ultimate non-lethal battle vehicle.
Oh, man. Okay. All right, Tom, always very entertaining and always helpful. And again, people can follow you on Twitter @car_guy_Tom. That's @car_guy_Tom. And if they have questions or anything, they can check you out at consumerguide.com. Tom, have a great month, and we'll talk to you in February.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks, buddy. Take care.
Take care.
Tom Appel. Check out consumerguide.com. Follow him @car_guy_Tom. All right. We'll talk to him again next month.